Good day, good people. I'm Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Interbeings Wisdom Wednesday. Now, Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast listeners and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Time here on Crowdcast, where you can be part of the discussion that follows the reflections. So whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you so much for being part of Wisdom Wednesday. You will notice at the bottom of the screen, there's a green button there for the Wisdom Wall, and that's a place where you can interact with one another and share what's on your heart as you're listening to today's session. I'd also like to share with you in the chat section, there is a link to tomorrow night's event at 6 p.m. Central Time, where Reverend Simon DeVoyle and myself are going to be sharing a little bit about our paths towards interfaith and interspiritual ministry and answering your questions. So we hope you can join us then. Now, that session, as always, will be recorded too, so you can register now and watch live or watch the recording. Wisdom Wednesday. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom isn't knowing more. It's knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to the depths of yourself. Your intellect, your will, your emotion, your senses, even your epiphanies. Yes, you're invited here on Wisdom Wednesday to open to the ground of wisdom, which is really the transformation of human consciousness and the heart. And today we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations. Each one's going to be followed by a minute of silence, where you are invited into the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Those are our four watchwords or signs. And during those times of silence, you can choose to do any of the four or all four. Resonate, does something connect with you? It might be symbolized by a word or a phrase that you heard. Reflect. Meditate with those images and thoughts that come about. Respond. You can respond by journaling or prayer or even body prayer, some type of movement. Or fourth, rest. Simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. After those three sessions, we will close with a spiritual practice and open it up for group dialogue. And today's theme is Jesus the Prophet. So with an open heart and a calm, centered presence, take a gentle breath and let us begin. His contemporaries agreed that whatever else, Jesus was a prophet. And we wonder, where did Jesus derive this unshakable assurance that he could speak so directly for God? Prophets experience a special closeness to God that enables them to understand God's feelings and thoughts about what is happening. And this mystical experience of union with God enables them to speak on God's behalf. And behind and in support of all this was a life of constant prayer and profound contemplation. Contemplative spirituality infuses Jesus' prophetic action. For example, in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. As you read through the scripture, you can see he did this regularly. And before choosing his 12 apostles, he spent the whole night in prayer. This is the powerfully simple way in which prophecy and mysticism form an inseparable whole in life and spirituality. Prophets are mystics, and mystics are prophets, and Jesus is ultimately calling all of us to be prophets. So be prepared to become a prophet and a mystic. Then we can all become courageous enough to speak out like the prophets. Friends, teaching prophetically goes beyond facts and material, and it reaches into the unutterable and allows silence and spirit to do the teaching. Jesus sat at the feet of elders, and he also taught with his heart, hearing those whispers of the Holy Spirit and allowing it to speak through him. Prophecy will pass away, and the only thing left will be love. Prophecy comes to life as love. And Jesus the prophet is love manifested. We also can be love manifested in the world. And all it requires is the willingness to offer your life as a living sacrifice. And all we have to do is recognize that the time has come to make full use of our gifts, that we are the embodiment of a new order. Just as Jesus was the embodiment of a new order, he was a fulfillment of the prophecy of those who had gone before him. There is another way. The prophetic way. So step out on the water and come. Because we walk on water by offering our gifts to God and our neighbors. Offer our gifts to God and our neighbors. And your gift may be prayer or art or business or teaching or science. But the prophetic call will hone your gifts so that your very lives are a prophetic witness to the world. So let us now resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Prophets, they reveal the inconvenient truths. They expose the shadow. They confront the ego. And they call the people to be transformed. Now, the shadow is that part of the self that we don't want to see, the denied, repressed self. We don't even want others to see it. And we're always afraid of it. Our tendency is to try to hide or deny it, even and most especially from ourselves. The shadow is that which is listening but not understanding, seeing but not perceiving. We cannot really get rid of the shadow. We can only expose its game, which is, in great part, to get rid of its effects. And prophets, they deal with the cause, which is the ego. Take the plank out of your own eye. And if we don't see our own plank, it is inevitable that we will hate it anywhere else. Preoccupation with repressing the shadow invariably leads us into denial or disguise, repression or hypocrisy. An immature religion creates a high degree of cognitively rigid people who are very hateful and attacking people, and often both. It is, sad to say, almost the public image of Christianity today. Yet God's goal is exactly the opposite. And once we expose the shadow for what it is, its game is over, because its effectiveness entirely depends on disguise. And we need to stand for truth and justice. The people have been promised that they will be set free, and Jesus wants people to know that He is here to bring liberation to them and to all people. You know Jesus, that brown-skinned Palestinian Jew who grew up in Nazareth, a town that was poor and marginalized, ruled and militarized by the Roman Empire. Peasant societies then were marked by an enormous gulf between rural peasants and urban ruling elites. Sounds a bit familiar, does it? They were politically oppressive, economically exploitative, and religiously legitimated. And then Jesus, well, He confronts unjust systems and demonstrates in word and deed what God's love looks like. Jesus, who was a peasant Himself, saw all of these things happening to people. And He was anointed to do the work of love, justice, and liberation. He sets off in a nonviolent way during His ministry. He sets it off by flipping the tables of the money changers and declaring that God's house is a place of prayer and not a den of thieves. He was a man considered a nobody. A man considered a nobody set it off by showing radical love and revolutionary compassion and speaking truth to power. And that produced a great harvest of freedom fighters. Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, Fannie Lou Hamer, Ella Josephine Baker, Septima Clark, Martin Luther King Jr. So friends, each of us is being called to set it off. And it does not matter what your pedigree is. God is calling you to stand for truth and justice. So let's take that and resonate and reflect. Respond. Rest. There are two great strands of spiritual teachers in all religions. There's the priestly class that holds the system together by repeating the tradition. And there's also the prophetic class that are critical of the very system that the priest maintain. And with both, we have a certain kind of wholeness and integrity. And if we just have priest, we keep repeating the party line and everything is about loyalty, conformity, and following the rules. If we have the priest and the prophet, we have a system constantly refining itself and correcting itself from within. And we see both in Jesus, who loves his people and his Jewish religion, but is lethally critical of hypocrisy and illusion and deceit. Jesus' first action as a prophet is the driving out of evil from a synagogue. The devil is in the synagogue itself. And this is no small symbol. Remember, the only way evil can succeed is to disguise itself as good. And one of the best disguises for evil is religion. And those are the things that prophets point out. So, prophets aren't nearly as popular as priests. Prophets honor the tradition, and they also say what's phony about the tradition. And that's what fully spiritually mature people can do. Now, we can understand Jesus more clearly when we consider him through the lineage of his Jewish faith and the lineage of the Hebrew prophets. Just look at his ancestors and look at the lineage in which he came. Place Jesus in that context of his history and his story. For Jesus, growing up as a Jew, he was entering into a realm of people like patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob, and importantly, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, as well as the prophets. These are people who have some experience of listening to God and then speaking for God. They are confronting oppression and injustice. They are proclaiming liberation and warning and promise and imagination. In Jesus' life and actions, my Rabbi Jesus, he echoed those of the prophets. Jesus fusses at priests, he tells parables, and he heals. And although Jesus himself may be perceived as heir to the legacy of Amos and Jeremiah, the Gospels, they present him as more than a prophet. So he is important not only because of what he says, but also because of who he is. And Jesus is seeking something new, specifically the realm of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And then we get to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest with his one instruction. Follow him. Now to move into our spiritual practice. You know, this instruction from Jesus, our rabbi, to follow him brings up all kinds of feelings. Self-doubt. I can't do it. I'm just a nobody. I don't belong. So in this spiritual practice, we want to affirm that you belong. It's a simple practice. I'm going to read a series of statements, and each one we will follow together. Even though we can't hear each other, we will respond with, I belong. So friends, take a breath. Receive these each deep into your heart and soul. Then respond, I belong. People on all parts of the continuum of gender identity and expression, including those who are gay, bisexual, heterosexual, transgender, the sexual activity, the celibate, and everyone for whom those labels don't apply, I belong. I belong. I belong. People of African descent, of Asian descent, of European descent, of First Nations descent in this land and abroad, and people of mixed and multiple descents, and of all the languages spoken here, I belong. I belong. I belong. Bodies with all abilities and challenges, those living with any chronic medical condition, visible or invisible, mental or physical. I belong. I belong. I belong. People who identify as activists and those who don't. Mystics, believers, seekers of all kinds, people of all ages, those who support you to be here. I belong. I belong. I belong. Your emotions, joy, fear, grief, contentment, disappointment, surprise, and all else that flows through you. I belong. I belong. I belong. Your families, genetic and otherwise, those dear to us who have died, our ancestors and the future ones, the ancestors who lived in this land, in this place, where these buildings are now, we honor you through this work that we are undertaking. I belong, I belong, I belong. People who feel broken, lost, struggling, who suffer from self-doubt and self-judgment. I belong, I belong, I belong. All beings that inhabit this earth, the two-legged, the four-legged, winged and finned, those that walk, fly, and crawl above the ground and below, in air and water. I belong. I belong. I belong. Thank you for your presence and your loving kindness. You belong. At this point in our session, we say goodbye to our YouTube and podcast listeners, and we'll enter into a time of dialogue here in Crowdcast. So please come join us on any Wednesday evening that you're available. We'd love to enter into dialogue with you. So for all of you, remember that love is the way. And And also remember that you are love. And we hope to see you again soon.